be needed to do a friendly diplomatic contact with these civilizations in France. And so we cooperated with that. This was something that was not talked about until September. And I referred to it some years ago. Those of you may remember, I talked about a major G7 country whose Ministry of Defense was reaching out to us to make peaceful contact. This is it. You know, I'm speaking of it now because that government left. It was Sarkozy, the President Sarkozy. And enough time has passed that I feel like I can talk about it without too many ruffled feathers. There's still going to be ruffled feathers with this. But importantly, what you have to look at with this document, and it's basically an explanation. If you look at the translation, we had expected to do an event sooner, and it kept getting delayed. And the delay was because of, as it says, politics. And there were people interfering with this attempt to go out and have a team of folks with the air support, security support, and have, like in Close Encounters of the Third Kind, a contact, a landing, or a near-contact event under the official auspices of the Ministry of Defense of France. Now, when we started going back and forth with this communication, of course, everything I do is monitored in real time. The French ambassador to the United States got a very nasty phone call from our intelligence community and saying, "What the hell do you think you're doing?" And they really cussed him out. And he said, "Look, we're doing this. So we're a sovereign country." And basically what was said back to him was, "Don't do it anywhere near U.S. assets or U.S. airspace or U.S. territory, or you'll be in big trouble." And the French got very irritated by this. They said, "We'll be completely within France, and it's none of your business." So obviously there are elements within MAGIC in France who have run interference to interfere with this process. Every major country have elements. And so it's very political. It becomes very, very thorny. But the very fact that senior people in the Ministry of Defense of a major G7 country, group of seven, major economic country, would, and a nuclear power, would reach out to make peaceful contact using the Close Encounters of the Fifth Kind initiative is by far the most historic thing. And that's why this document, I think, is the most important document ever written, because it's not classified. I only kept it private because I didn't want to burn bridges to the government that was there. And it did involve all the way up to the president of France, this effort. We actually ended up going, I believe it was in 2010 or 2011, and did a CE5 event that actually had enormous results. And their military had cordoned off the airspace, directed, and we had a 2,200-acre estate in Brittany. And there were ET craft tracked going overhead at over 200,000 kilometers an hour, and all kinds of strange phenomenon in the field where we were, which the admiral was there. Now, no one knew that's who he was. This ended up being a demonstration event for the Ministry of Defense people, and not, it was directed by me. And the cover story was that it was a SETI expedition for a weekend. So see, if you sometimes come on these expeditions, there may be other folks there, huh? Get it? Nobody knew who he was. He was just a nice gentleman in a plaid shirt. But that's how these things have to happen. I mean, it wasn't my place to expose who he was. But they were very happy with the results and have learned a lot. And we're continuing to teach them about the concepts of non-locality and consciousness, remote viewing, coherent thought sequencing, electronic interface with thought that the ETs have, how to set up the correct philosophy and conditions for contact, on and on and on. And this is really the core of course, why I founded this organization, was to move us away from the brink of war into a time of interplanetary peace and universal peace. But at the same time, we have to understand that an operation like this isn't going on in a vacuum in outer space. It's going on within a world that's enormously dysfunctional, particularly with these national security issues and these sort of spy versus spy groups who interfere. And there was enormous interference between 2007 and 2010 trying to stop that process. And it continues to go on. I mean, it turns out there are people who are key involved with the liaison who are actually moles from magic who are there to disrupt events. Infiltrators. So this is what happens. I mean, this is welcome to my life. But that should be of no surprise to anyone, and it was certainly no surprise to me. But ultimately, the fact that there would be a major initiative like this from a government like France for peaceful purposes as opposed to a warfare or militaristic purposes is a very positive development. Because I had a lucid dream years ago before I started these projects, and I'm part Cherokee and I have a lot of lucid dreams of the future. Met my wife that way. And we were in the future, and we were at White Sands where the first atomic bomb went off. And there was a beautiful event happening. And the U.S. Air Force and government had moved off this dime of either denial or suppression or hoaxing and trying to create this false flag World War III conflict that's completely a hoax. And had decided, yes, we need to pick this other path and make peaceful contact. And a massive government-sanctioned CE5 was happening, broad daylight, and this beautiful silver seamless object descended in a bed of a blue sky, landed, and an ancient elder ET came out of it, and this was all broadcast live. The whole world saw it. Now, you know, maybe, and that was before I founded CSETI and the Disclosure Project and all this, and I was maybe in my early 20s when I had that dream, and I'm 60 now, so you know, it's a potential future. But I do believe it's a potential future. And the way it's going to become a real future is for all of us to do that. Because guess what? You know who the leaders are on this? You guys. Not the president. Not the Congress. Disclosure, contact, all of that first has to be the people. We the people. It's going to happen by us banding together, making contact, being enlightened about what we're doing, not going out there with ray guns, but doing it for the purpose of an open relationship that's peaceful and enduring between our planet and these other planets. That is the only possible outcome anyway. The other outcome, any conflict, I don't care with any ET civilization, would be the complete destruction of their planet and ours. It would be much worse than a massive global thermonuclear war exchange. So there is no possible future except a peaceful one. So let's figure out how to do that. No matter what your belief systems about these various civilizations that are out there, my own assessment is that some are not really thrilled with us because, well, who wouldn't be? And some are maybe our distant cousins. And some are just getting involved and looking with some horror at what's happening. But ultimately, none of them are overtly hostile. If they were, it'd be over. Let me tell you, it would have been over when we dropped the first atomic bomb. And I've been told that by multiple members of MAGIC, M-A-J-I-C, because they have said, yeah, of course. I mean, but it's very easy to play on people's paranoias and fears through mutilations and abductions. And this Dr. John Altshuler I mentioned, who is the nephew of Jimmy Doolittle, General Doolittle, he became the guy who did the first Snippy the Horse case. You know, Snippy the Horse, the cattle mutilation and animal mutilation case? That was him. He didn't get acknowledged because he wanted to stay in the background. But he was the scientist. I was staying at his home outside Denver. And he said, absolutely, that case was military. Made to look ET for the purpose of scaring the hell out of people. I said, really? He says, absolutely. And then I met with a man. It was an accidental. You know, the universe works in strange ways. I'm sitting on a flight. Flying, I think from Colorado or New Mexico to the East Coast, and the guy sitting beside me says, "Oh," I said, "Well, I'm a doctor." And he says, "Well, what are you doing out here?" I said, "Well, I actually do stuff with UFOs." He says, "Oh, you're kidding." He says, "Let me tell you," and he owned a 250,000 acre ranch in northern New Mexico, and he said, "Let me tell you what they're doing to my cattle," and he said, "But it is not alien. It's humans." And he had night scopes. He was a very wealthy man. And he said, these guys are coming in there with special silent helicopters, and we have them, My military advisor was on a ship where one landed in a fog, and they couldn't see it. And they said, "Where is it? Where is it?" They said, "It's look up. It's right above you, and there's no sound, completely quiet." He says, "And we caught them red-handed doing these mutilations on my cattle." And he instituted a lawsuit against the U.S. government, but the group doing it was an unacknowledged group that's extra-constitutional, and the U.S. government said, "We don't know anything about it." And the government people who said that were telling them the truth. See, this is real plausible deniability, right? Because they can honestly say, "We don't know anything about this." So he took it all the way through the federal court system. It just got thrown out. Even though he had dispositive evidence, human paramilitary and U.S. military assets were doing it. And, I've shared this with Linda Moot and Hal and others. You know, an alien harvest, I said alien baloney. This is being done by people who want to scare the hell out of the public as part of this psychological warfare that was launched in 1953. But there's another reason for it. They're getting raw materials that they do take from that. It's hard to do it underground. Take them to underground bases, which become culture media for the program life forms, the man-made ETs I'm talking about. We don't have time to go into what these nanotechnological things are, but let me just say cloning. Dolly the sheep wasn't the first cloned creature. So with the right electromagnetic pulse, it's very easy to clone a human or an ET or take tissue from one, but you need some kind of biological medium. And that's what the cattle mutilations provide and the other animal mutilations provide the biological medium for these experiments in the development of man-made fake ETs. And by the way, there was an intelligence official who kept calling Stan Romanek, telling him when he had that creature come into his kitchen, and said, "Stan, it's one of the fake ones." And he didn't know what it meant. I went out there with a MUFON investigator who investigates abductions. I said, "Yeah, it's a fake one." And he says, "What do you mean?" I said, "I've been talking about this for 20 years. The literature is replete with the military involvement in these abductions. It's a fake one. It's man-made. It's made to look alien to scare the hell out of people, but because it puts fear out in the community." I said, "It's not extraterrestrial. It's man-made." But the cattle mutilations do two things. They provide a nexus for more fear. Oh, my God, not only are they abducting people, they're mutilating. But then it creates a source of biological substrate material for the nano bio machines that are these biologicals that look alien. And that was because they were taking them to Dulce, which was near his ranch. Same thing at Pine Gap. I have a science physicist who worked at Pine Gap in Australia, and it's all subterranean, and he worked on projects. He says, "We have these creatures coming off like sausages on a conveyor belt." Absolutely. And I was at a meeting in Australia a couple years ago, and the Minister of Defense for Australia was there. He didn't know anything about this stuff. We had a very interesting conversation. But I said, "No, you wouldn't." I said, "Our Secretary of Defense doesn't know about this either." But that is really what's happening. So you have to think that, well, if we can make our way through this nexus of fear and false information that has kind of colonized everyone's mind, then we can go out there with Close Encounters of the Fifth Kind teams and make peaceful contact with these civilizations. How beautiful. And that's why I tell people, don't be afraid of anything interstellar. You should be very concerned about paramilitary human. But the interstellars, not a problem. And I think you have to make a distinction. People say, "Well, how do you tell the difference?" Well, an ET craft has no seams. The light from it is coming from refined materials that are so pure that the light itself looks like celestial. The beings themselves have a completely non-invasive, very intelligent, IQ of 400, 500, that range, and very conscious and spiritual. The PLFs are menacing. They're invasive. The man-made Lockheed Martin, Northrop, SAIC, man-made disc saucers, triangles have rivets and seams. It's quite clear to tell the difference, but you need to know there is a difference first, because otherwise you're going to think everything is alien, and it's not. And that's why I'm doing this webinar with thousands of people watching. It's going to go up on the web. It's that the public needs to know the difference between the real and the false. and what the agenda is for the false one, and how easy it is, whether it's through a cosmic 9/11 or some other scenario, to manipulate the public into fear and get on a war footing where we then suspend our liberties, our freedoms, and spend trillions of dollars and countless lives in a concocted, hoaxed battle. Don't be fooled again. We need to not be fooled again. And this is the big one that we need to wake up to. If enough of us wake up to this and then go out and make peaceful contact, then those folks who want to see us create a time of endless war can't have their way. They only succeed if you are sheeple who are going to follow along with the conventional wisdom like zombies half asleep. So I beg you to share this with everyone you know. And go out there and make peaceful contact. The other thing I'm calling for is this whistleblower act provision. If there are people in this audience or who know people who have been involved in these projects who can testify, and if there's an attorney team that will take it, we will initiate this lawsuit. And the next is mass defections. All of you know people who know people who know people. It's 2 or 3 degrees of separation. If you work your network, those of you listening who are in California in the high desert, there are people in Palmdale near Edwards, there are people in Nevada listening right now. You network in your community and you find people who are at these facilities that I named. And unfortunately, that document didn't make it, but listen to it. And if they've worked on these projects related to ETs, UFOs, PLFs, program life forms, anti-grav, you may defect with impunity under the National Security Act of the United States. Why? Because we have proven today that there are dozens and dozens and dozens of officials in the U.S. government, in the British government, and every other country who have been denied access through a criminal enterprise, a racketeering influence corrupt organization, the largest RICO in the world, that has involved itself in corruption, and therefore it cannot, if it is violating the U.S., British, and other constitutions, cite the National Security Act to provide cover. That is why on 2001, on May 9th, when we did the Disclosure Project, and I had 20-some people at the National Press Club over here, and then subsequently more than 100 that came forward in the book and videos for disclosure, none of them, even though they had top-secret clearances on this issue, none of them ever got a phone call or a letter saying, be quiet. Because we had proven between 1992 and 2001 that this is an illegal, unconstitutional operation. So anyone listening who has a family member, a friend, a neighbor, someone you can network who's been in those projects or are currently in those projects, contact me at our website, Sirius Disclosure, S-I-R-I-U-S, disclosure.com. We will treat you with the greatest confidentiality. Now, we do not want to hear from secondhand people unless you have dispositive documents and proof. Only firsthand, people who are there and who can prove they're there. So you'll have a DD-214 from the Department of Defense. You'll have badges from your corporate access. You'll have stuff that can establish it. And that's what we require. But those folks need to come forward in a next wave of disclosure and defect from this criminal enterprise. Many of you, I'm addressing you now, don't know you're in a criminal enterprise because the way compartmented intelligence works, you have a guy at this desk doesn't know what the guy next to him is doing because it's special compartmented intelligence, top secret. And that's the way it works. They're in what are called silos. But I am telling you through these documents and this testimony that the way these projects are managed, it's illegal. And if it's illegal, they cannot cite you for violating the National Security Act. Now, Snowden disclosed information that the President and Congress did know about. That's different. I'm talking about disclosing information that is not being shared with the President or Congress and are a priori illegal. So the quotidian world of top secret the sort of everyday world of top secret. I'm not talking about that. I'm only talking about unacknowledged special access projects that deal with the anti-gravity or gravity control, new energy, ET UFO issue. Those things are being managed in a corrupt enterprise that's illegal. So you folks can speak to anyone, provide any materiel, take any document, like some of these that I have that are top secret that have not been declassified. No one's going to come after you. Now, I did have an FBI Gates say to me once, you know, he says, that's a top secret document. If you share that with anyone, each time you share it, it's however many years in prison and whatever zillion dollar fine. I said, really? Come put the bracelets on. I said, because my first call, and it was back when I'd been on Larry King, my first call is going to be the Ted Koppel, who I know, and Larry King and a few other people. The headline's going to be, emergency doctor gets arrested for disclosing top secret document that confirms UFOs and that you guys killed Marilyn Monroe. You want that the headline? Come get me. And he looked at me, he said, you're crazy. I said, yeah, like a fox. I said, it's your worst nightmare. This is your worst nightmare. So that's the other part of disclosure. Don't be a lone wolf. Don't be a Bill Colby. Do it. Come together with us, with a group of people, another 5, 10, 20, 30 people, deep inside the transnational security state, the deep state, and come forward. That's what I'm calling for people to do. So that's one thing we can do. The other is to each of us form our own CE5 groups. How many people here are part of a CE5 contact group somewhere? I'm just curious. Yeah, so a few of you. The rest of you need to do that. We have an app. If you go to seriousdisclosure.com and scroll down to the second bottom half of the page, there is actually an app to train you in the remote viewing and the contact protocols. And then there's another app, a free app, that will show you who is on CE5 teams in your area. And so you can register on that, put a, you know, create a new email just for contact in CE5, and start going out under the stars doing this. Because here's the power of mass consciousness. Dr. John at Princeton, the Princeton Engineering Anomalies Research Lab, found that if one person put their awareness on a random number generator, they could shift it, the zeros to ones or the ones to zeros, just through their conscious effect. That's the power of the mind. Our minds have infinite power if we tap into that. If two people do it who love each other or are united, the effect was exponential, not arithmetic. It wasn't twice as much. It was 10 times as much. So when a group of people in higher consciousness go out for the purpose of making peaceful contact, understanding that our future is peace in the cosmos, and where our destiny is to become extraterrestrials to other worlds eventually, where we will be interstellar. If you understand that, and then if you begin to do that, don't worry about what phenomenon happens. The process of doing it itself is transformative and edifying. So please go and do that. That's another thing you can all do. Now, I want to take the last few minutes to just take a few questions. We've got about 15 minutes. And anyone who has a question in the audience, if you can just yell it out and I'll repeat it so everyone can hear it. Yeah, he's asking about the, hearings in front of Congress and this sort of thing. Here's the problem with that. In reality, we've already done that. We've already given the full dossier to every member of Congress. I am not sanguine that any member of Congress is going to hold a hearing on this. Even Kucinich, who ran for president in 2008, who had a sighting and a close encounter, he was outed by Shirley MacLaine, unfortunately. And I've known him for years. He became chairman of one of the subcommittees on government oversight, domestic. He wouldn't do it. Because the social opprobrium, condemnation, critical, ridicule, is so great on this subject. It's more likely that more and more people defecting and doing it through the new media and the internet would create a title. Now, at some point, either a contact event will happen that cannot be suppressed, or enough critical mass of people, a new wave of people defect, where it just reaches critical mass. But for the president and the Congress to do it, they will only step in after we've done the very big heavy lift. So I think disclosure is in our hands. And in my opinion, in a sense, we've already done it. The majority of Americans believe we're not alone. 43% of Americans believe we're currently being visited by ETs. Two-thirds of the public believes there's intelligent life out there, and we've been historically visited. So in a sense, that, and I, when I started the project, that the numbers were like 20, 25%. So in a sense, we've won that issue. It's when people talk about disclosure, I say, well, in a sense, we've already done it. What hasn't happened is official disclosure. But the problem with official disclosure is that it's rare to find a politician who has the courage to make it their way through the condemnation, the ridicule, or the threats. And the threats are serious. And that's why when we had such great hope that Clinton, and by the way, when Lawrence was hosting, when we were doing this briefing for President Clinton and Hillary at the Rockefeller Ranch, you know who stood up and stopped it? Hillary. She said, it's too dangerous. We don't want to hear anything more about it, and we're not going to pursue it. So President Clinton took the briefing, this huge thing I put together, and kept it in the private quarters of the White House in his bathroom, actually, to read. And he would occasionally bring it out. There was a person who used to live at the White House who's a friend of mine. And he says, yeah, he'd bring it out into the living room. And he went through and he'd go, I know all this is true, but they won't tell me a thing, not a goddamn thing. That's what he said. So, you know, I just think that, you know, for the chief executive or the Congress to do it, we're going to have to create events of contact events. And it's harder in America than any other country because this country is the crown jewel. It's not that magic doesn't have subsidiaries globally, but this country is the crown jewel of the military, industrial, financial, laboratory, technology complex dealing with this. All other countries are an order of magnitude down in terms of what they have. And so for a president or a congressman to really go full bore at this, let's just say I'm not holding my breath. I'm calling for it. I think it'd be great if it happened. But I think we're going to have to do a lot more of the groundwork ourselves. The public, it has to be a mass public initiative, both making contact and bringing out more and more of these top secret witnesses before they will move off the dime. Yes, sir. Yes, I know a number. I've named a few. Some are recently deceased. Some are still living. Like, you know, Cheney's certainly a member. Papa Bush is a member. Some of these royal families have representation, but minor. All you have to do is look at the really top folks at the Lockheed Skunk Works, SAIC, Lockheed Martin. They're all involved. You know, you have David Rockefeller, used to be Chase Manhattan Bank. That, by the way, that's why Lawrence, who was his brother, who was sort of the philosopher king of the family, he wanted disclosure and peaceful contact. David, with the banking empire, was jumping up and down on his, well, I won't say what he told me, his toes. If they're directly involved in the Skunk Works and the Cube, yes, they would absolutely have knowledge. And there are people within the military and CIA. I know people at the CIA who are a member of this group. And what's interesting, when I first did the meetings with the CIA director, about a third of MAGIC supported the concept of ending the secrecy and bringing this out. I've been told that the number is now 70% are in favor. And I've met with a number of them. They're more the younger generation. The problem is the other 30% would drop them dead just like they killed Bill Colby. So it doesn't take them. It's not a democratic system. It's who's willing to be a murderer, you know, who's willing to kill who. So it's, and the other problem is that this group, MAGIC, has elements that are splintered off of the main policy board. The main policy committee. So the folks who have gone off the reservation with electronic warfare systems, abductions, mutilations, those guys are in a paramilitary special operation, drug run. It's highly, and some of the people who are on the main, they don't actually have control over what those guys are doing. So people should get rid of the idea of some sort of top-down system. The architecture of the secrecy may have started that way, and much of it was under constitutional oversight with Truman and the early Eisenhower years. And then it went south. And it continues to go out of control, spinning out of control. So that's what you need to understand. Yes, sir? Okay, there are agendas within this group that are separate and competing. And sometimes they mesh. One would be macroeconomic global control. They want the oil system, the central utility system, and it's all a macroeconomic issue for those guys. Those would be more of the real politic folks like Papa Bush. Then you have the people who I mentioned are eschatologists. They would love to see a final battle happen that would result in the end of the world so that their Messiah or their Christ or whoever would return. I mean, they're religious nuts. I mean, they make the Taliban look like liberals. Then you have an element that are sociopaths who really like endless war. They love torture. They like destruction. They're addicted to it. And I've met with some of these people. They are true psychopaths and scary characters. And then you have an agenda that has to do with the fact that they're not so much still attached to the secrecy, but they don't know how to come clean without it being the biggest scandal in the history of the United States and many other countries. Because imagine this information coming out and being confirmed, and the world learns that for 60 years we haven't needed oil or gas or coal, that there have been all these things done. I mean, one of their concerns is that it could result in so much social instability they wouldn't be able to manage it. So there's a sort of inertia to the secrecy, a momentum, and it's very hard to stop it. So those are people who are just sitting on the fence, who are placeholders, status quo holders. And a man that was good friends with W, I met with him at the university club over here, and he was sort of his advisor on nuclear power and stuff like this. And he said, you know, he says, I don't care if you're left, right, liberal, conservative, Democrat, Republican, when you get into that building, and we just down the road, he was pointing at the White House, you govern as a conservative. I said, what do you mean? He said, you do not want to be in charge when something this big happens and manage that change. I said, oh, I understand what you're talking about. I had an admiral who was in charge of CONUS, who was part of, and another guy named Admiral Harry Train, who became a member of MAGIC. You want names? I mean, I have a lot of names. And this guy said, well, CONUS is Continental United States Security. And he says, my job is to maintain the homeostasis and of the world energy supply, just to have nothing disrupted. That's why we're in the Middle East so heavily. He says, and what you're saying is true. This should never have been kept secret. It should come out. But I just want to retire from this command and go fishing at my ranch out in, I think it was Montana or Wyoming. He says, I just want to get out of this position. So, you know, you have to, you know, live in their shoes for a minute. And I have a lot of compassion for that. A lot of these people have inherited this mess that got started. And this is why Senator Goldwater said to me, he said, you know, it was a goddamn mistake then, and it's a goddamn mistake now that this was ever kept secret. I'm quoting directly. I'm sitting in his living room. And, you know, so there are a lot of people who find themselves as placeholders, and they just don't want to disrupt the status quo. So there are different agendas for the secrecy. Some is global domination macroeconomically. Some have this quasi-religious sort of end times, you know, final battle in space nonsense. You know, it's almost like you get into the wackiness of science fiction, but it's real, this Dr. Strangelovian view. Some, it's all just about maintaining the status quo of how the world operates. Because imagine if every village in Africa and every place in India had a free energy device, they had electrification, refrigeration, crops could be grown under controlled environments with zero energy cost. You would have the 2.5 billion people in China and India, their economic output would be parity with the United States. We only have 300 million. So the U.S. and Europe only has 700 million. The rest of the world is 7 billion. Money flows to where economic prowess and power is, right? That's why America is the biggest economy. China's about to get there, but bestrides the globe. But this would change the macroeconomic thing overnight, almost overnight, certainly within a generation, 15 or 20 years. So those are folks who are looking at the reality of that kind of change and go, no, it's too big of a change. Now, that has been going on for 60 years or more. I mean, the secrecy on the energy stuff has been going on for 100. And that's what has led us to the precipice of an environmental meltdown and global injustice. And as more and more people are impoverished and more elite parasitic kleptocracy has the money. This is a prescription for global revolution and upheaval and terrorism. So the more we stay on this path, the harder it's going to be. So even though the change is daunting to take on, it's still the right thing to do. And the longer we put it off, the harder it's going to be. So my advice has been, for 20 years, meeting with people in high places, do it. But it's easier said than done. Another question. Yes, ma'am. It's a great question. Yeah. How do we help our children and our educational system and get them into this new paradigm? You have to do it yourself. The system will take too long to catch up. It'll eventually get there. So when you start talking about the whole area of consciousness studies, high-tech sciences, you're not going to be able to get that at MIT or in your public schools. But we as parents can provide that information to our children. The other thing is to encourage them to take risks. I mean, now we have bubble kids. You know, everyone's a bubble kid. I mean, I ran all over the city wild. Now, you know, my parents would have been in prison. We don't let children take any risks. But you know what? We become so cowardly and timid that if my parents' generation were like that, we'd all be goose-stepping to Adolf Hitler. So now there's an Adolf Hitler that's this sub rosa, Fourth Reich, and we have to have the courage to stand up to it. Now, there are costs to that. I've paid a very steep price. But I think ultimately you have to begin to embrace a bigger vision. So I'd say the first thing with our children is that it has to be a vision of being interested in something greater than themselves or their own aggrandizement or the next selfie. So it is a spiritual value where the concern is for the future of our planet, the helping of others, and doing things even at great risk to yourself, or ridicule and estrangement from your peers, that you're going to do it because it's the right thing to do. Now, that's a fundamental spiritual foundation. And based on that, then you can take on the new energy issue or the contact or whatever it is. But so long as you're looking around and concerned what other people are thinking about you, which is how most people are, I'm sort of an outlier that way. I really don't care. From fourth grade, I decide I don't care what anyone thinks of me. But I'm sort of an outlier that way. But I think that's really important, this sort of independent sense of investigating truth and willing to speak the truth and stay on your path, even if there's social condemnation, ridicule, whatever it is. And that's moral character. To me, that's moral character. And that's one of the things that needs to be taught, because just having the information about the technologies or contact isn't enough. There's this deeper moral character that we need to inculcate in our children and in our culture. And, you know, I remember being chewed out by one of my ER doctor colleagues because I was late getting in one because a truck flipped over on the mountain. And I stopped because I'm an emergency doctor, and the thing was about to burst into flames, a tanker truck, diesel fuel everywhere. And this guy was in there, and he had a C4-5 fray. He was numb from the nipples down. And he was, and I pulled over and went in there and got him out carefully so there wouldn't be any more damage. Could have killed him. And before the thing blew up, and the guy chewed me out because I was 30 minutes late. I had the highway patrol call. And I said, well, what am I supposed to do? Just drive by and let this man die? He says, yes, because you're late. And this was a fundamentalist Christian. I said, well, you ever heard of the Good Samaritan? It was astonishing to me, this sort of self-absorbed, narcissistic. So I think we have to, I mean, don't get me started. I think we have to, you know, really teach our children and those around us by the force of example, basically. It's a dynamic force of example, that you're willing to do things that aren't always just to your own aggrandizement. And that's important. I think it's really important, by teaching by example. Yes, sir?
There's compelling evidence that...
I have looked at it. You know, I have bigger fish to fry. 9/11 was terrible. We lost 3,000 people. It led to two huge wars and trillions of dollars. I will tell you this. I'm not going to get into specifics. I mentioned a gentleman named Richard Foch, third highest guy, Richard Foch at the Naval Research Labs. He was in meetings with the then Vice President of the United States, Cheney. And he said, absolutely, it was known about in advance, and there was involvement at that level. And he told me, and I have witnesses, multiple witnesses to this, that if he were to speak of this, now he's passed away, that he, his wife, his children, and his grandchildren would all be killed. That's all I'm going to say on the 9/11 issue. But there is a lot to that story. I've never shared publicly what I just said, but the man has passed away. So it's not hard to, and I think most people get into these grand conspiracy theories. Basically, all you have to do is stand down. There's constant threat. There is terrorism out there. And you don't even have to hoax an event in that case. You just have to stand down the systems that would have intercepted it. You understand what I'm saying? So it's like when you're doing a code blue, boom, clear. You say clear before you do the electric shock. So you just clear the system, let it come in and hit. Now, what I think happened on 9/11 is more like what I just described. And I have very good reason to believe that, because someone of that integrity and rank had a front row seat and knew about it. And I've never spoken of this before right now, but I think that it's disturbing. It's enraging, but it's a minor rounding error compared to what's coming if we don't end this cartel's hegemony on the secrecy related to UFOs, ETs, what have you. 9/11 is going to be a very minor blip on the screen. So that's my warning to people. You can take it or not. But I've known what you just asked about since it happened. My whole security team lit up like you wouldn't believe when that happened. Yes. Yes, ma'am. They're all benevolent, by the way. You're right. Yeah, I would say any interstellar civilization has achieved a level of consciousness, even when they're fully in the physical form, to be at that level of feeling. Those are the contact experiences I've had. But I think that one thing that doesn't work is, like, when we go to Afghanistan and try to start Jeffersonian democracy amongst warlords that are living in the medieval time. These civilizations are not going to come here. Now, I think if things got very, very bad, there would be a massive intervention, honestly. But I think let's avoid that. Let's not just sit on our hands and let things collapse. Let's actually take the world where it is and turn it and put it on the path of our dreams. Let's dream a beautiful future and create that future. And if we do that, there's going to be help in many dimensions, spiritual, extraterrestrial, and human, that'll come into play. But we have to do it. And I really think those of us who have this information are the ones who are responsible for achieving it. We're out of time. Thank you very much for coming. I appreciate you. God bless you all.